Hey, it's Asante.
And I'm Avery.
And this is Millennial Moms. For today's topic, we will be discussing labor and delivery. Before we get started, I would like to share a quote with you all. It's by Linda Wooten, and it goes like this. Being a mother is learning about strengths you didn't know you had and dealing with fears you didn't know existed.
So, Ave, tell me about your outlook on labor and delivery.
Okay, so before I actually went through the whole experience, I was terrified. And I feel like a lot of girls could relate, because usually you hear about, the contractions, the birth process, or how to get stitches afterwards, blah, blah, blah. So I was really, really scared. And I also didn't really have a plan or idea of what I wanted to do. I just kept telling people I want a healthy baby. So I didn't really know if I was going to get the epidural or not. I didn't have this whole birth plan in detail. I just was going with the flow, basically. But how was yours? What was your outlook prior to giving birth?
Going in, I had I was kind of scared at first. But me, I watched a lot of YouTube videos. So I was watching like a lot of vlogs, story times, and actual labor and delivery YouTubers, I guess. And I was indulging. I just was trying to get every bit of information I could from the watching YouTube. But I could tell you this, I wasted my time, because it was nothing like, my experience was nothing like any of the videos that I watched.
Right. It didn't scare you, though? Like, I would have thought watching birthing videos would have scared the living crap out of me.
No, for me, it was like, I felt like it was informative. I needed to get every bit of information. I needed to hear every bit of scream that I could have to know how it was going to be for me.
You different. I was like, I don't want to know. Don't tell me. I didn't ask. Why are you telling me?
Okay.
Yeah, no, ma'am. But, okay, so you are absolutely right, though, in saying that your labor experience was nothing like that, because you ended up having to go into C-section.
Yep.
So that brings me to my next point. When was your original due date?
My original due date was February 26th. I ended up having Caden on January 16th.
Y'all, that is like a whole month of some change before.
Yes, yes.
That's crazy. I knew you was going to go early. You were so uncomfortable. Guys, she would be on the phone with me. She'd be like, my hips hurt. I don't know what's wrong. I'm uncomfortable. I'm like, yep.
Everything. I thought I had sciatica.
I'm like, put that car seat in that car. Pack that bag.
I'm telling you.
Go.
Don't even get me started on that, because I was so unprepared, guys. Talking about a car seat and packing a bag. I was so sad, too, because I definitely went to the hospital and ain't have nothing ready.
I know.
Not a bag, nothing. Nothing. That was crazy. When was your original due date?
So mine changed just like most women's do. It was my stepmom's birthday, then my mom's birthday. So it was like August 22nd, then August 18th, and then they finally agreed on August 15th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and well, I had to get induced. She never came on the 15th, and I ended up having her August 16th. But
wow.
Yeah, we're two completely different ends of the spectrum. She literally was not trying to come out at all. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because both of us worked. And usually people are like, oh, like the more active you are, the easier into labor you'll go. That was not the case for me. It was definitely the case for you, though.
At this point, I think people just be talking.
Me too. I feel either. Like, what is it called? Like old wives' tales?
Yeah.
People just say stuff just to hear themselves talk. I'll be like, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, at this point, because if I would have went by half of the stuff people was telling me throughout my pregnancy, I mean, I would have been in for a rude one. I mean, I was, but I would have been devastated at that point.
No, I 100% agree. I agree
for sure. So tell me about your labor experience. Like, how was your contractions? Did you get an epidural? Tell us more about your induction.
Oh my goodness. So I told you guys her due date was the 15th. Mm-hmm. And I had my last prenatal on that day. And they were just concerned because I wasn't as big as I should have been, considering it was my third trimester. Mm-hmm. So I had to go to the hospital on the same day, and they had to run tests. And basically, they're just like, you staying overnight just to make sure everything's okay with the baby. Oh, wow. And I knew right away. I was like, I'm not leaving this place until there's a baby in my arms. Like, there's no way. So I had to get induced later on that same day on the 15th. Uh-huh. And they made it seem like I was about to be in there forever. They're like, oh, you know, like the baby's being stubborn. We'll have to induce you, probably break your water, blah, blah, blah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Girl, I got induced that night. I woke up the next morning, my water broke, and that afternoon I was pushing.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So basically they made it seem like he was going to be there for mad long.
Yeah. And, you know, you hear stories about women, I was in labor for like 72 hours. I'm like... So with that being said, you know my behind. I took that epidural. I was like, if I'm about to be here this long going through these contractions, I don't know. I'm just gonna take the- I just took the epidural just to be safe. But yeah, I feel like I probably could have done it without the epidural, but we'll never know.
Right.
We'll never know. But let me hear about your contractions and your experience going early.
My contractions. My contractions was dangerous. First off, let me start by, my water broke 7:59 in the morning, and I was actually just turning over because I thought, I knew I had to go to the bathroom, but I was like, you know, I'm going to just lay here for a little bit longer. I don't got to get up right now. I was going to try to at least get 30 more minutes to an hour in. So I was just turning off of my left hip onto my right hip because my hips was definitely hurting. So I'm turning over and I feel like this thump or something, and then I feel mad water. So I'm like, oh no, I know I'm not peeing on myself. So then I hurry up and jumped up, and when I got up, of course the bed was wet. So now at this point I'm running to the bathroom, and I'm on the toilet now, but I'm using the bathroom. So I just had to call my aunt. I'm like, I think my water just broke. She's like, girl, you probably just peeing on yourself.
Like, everybody be saying that.
Like, come on. I know I'm not peeing on myself. I'm like, no, I'm using the bathroom right now. I'm peeing right now. Like, at that point, she just wasn't helping me. So I just called the doctor's office. And they was like, you know, come in. We're going to check you, basically. And they was basically going to test for the amniotic fluid and basically see if, basically confirm that my water was broke. So they did all of that, and they was like, yep, it's definitely amniotic fluid. So then they sent me to the emergency room. Well, not the emergency room, the labor and delivery floor, to where I can have Caden.
So,
but girl,
were you scared at that point? Were you like, oh my gosh, like what were your feelings? What were you thinking in those moments when they were like, nah, we gotta go?
Well, I was, like I said, sad because I didn't have anything ready. I didn't have a backpack. I didn't even have a toothbrush or nothing. So yeah, I was sad. I was like, no, because I was, all right, boom. I was going to, the plan was that morning to get up, pack the baby bag, pack my hospital bag, and get everything ready. No.
No.
I had other plans for me. So I ended up, the only thing I ended up doing that morning was eating a banana, drinking a bottle of water, and taking a shower. And I was out the door and all the way to the hospital, because goodness, one thing they don't tell you is once your water break, you don't stop leaking. I thought once it break, you know, boom, some water gush out, then it stop. No, I must have soaked through about 5 pads.
Yes. And it's like birth, like bring a child to this world is probably one of the most beautiful things, but it's definitely disgusting.
Yeah.
It's
very,
definitely really nasty.
Very, very, very. And I'm the type of person that I don't even like sweat on me. So imagine like amniotic fluid. I was just like freaked out.
Well, I was gonna say, with your contractions, were you sweating?
Girl, I don't even know. I know I was throwing up. Throwing up. I don't even remember if I was sweating or not. I know I was having back contractions. Like, it was hurting my back a lot. But, girl, I just remember them contractions were so bad, it had me throwing up.
I have back contractions, too. And when people ask me, like, oh, what does birth feel like? For those that either, like, men or women that never been through it. Mm-hmm. I was like, I had a lot of back labor. Mm-hmm. But honestly, and I feel like you could agree, the best way to explain it is like you have to take a poop.
Yeah.
And it won't come out. And so it's like you have like poop pains mixed in with like back cramps.
Yes.
That's the best way I could explain it. Mm-hmm. But okay, so now for your delivery experience. So they're like, okay, we gotta go. They're rushing you to like the labor delivery unit. And now you obviously you have to get a C-section, right?
Yeah. With my C-section, after I was having all of those bad contractions, they was becoming more and more frequent. They came in, they checked me. I was 6 centimeters dilated and 100% effaced. And they, at that point, actually, I was like, I gotta use the bathroom. I had to, felt like I had to poop again. So they checked me, and then it was like, you can't go to the bathroom. And they rushed me to get a C-section. So all the people came in, making sure I was conscious so that they can give me anesthesia, and basically I can give them verbal consent for them to do so. So then they rushed me back to the C-section room. Guys, that is the coldest room I've ever been in.
I know.
That room, that's cold. That's beyond cold. So I was shaking from pain, shaking from shivering.
Well, and they put you, you said they put you on an anesthesia too?
Yep.
Yep. So that makes you cold too.
Yep. Girl, I was freezing. I was freezing and in pain. Freezing and in pain. So they ended up putting me on the table. They gave me the spinal. Which is completely different from an epidural, but they gave me a spinal, and once that started working, they began the C-section process. At that point, I was still by myself. This is during COVID, and I was supposed to actually stay in the hospital for 3 more weeks because they wanted to try to keep me until Caden was at least 37 weeks because he came at 34 weeks. So they wanted to keep me for 3 more weeks, but he was like, no, mom, I'm coming now. And he was breached. So that's why I ended up having to get the C-section. But yeah, once they started cutting into me and moving stuff around, I felt the pressure. It wasn't no pain, but I did feel like the tugging and the pushing around and stuff. But then they was telling me every step of the way what they was doing. Once they got him out, they was like, oh, we got him. He's coming out. Yeah. Then he didn't cry for like 5 seconds, but that must have been the longest 5 seconds of my life. And when I finally cried, I definitely cried with him. But it was the happiest day of my life, too. It's actually crazy because my aunt was supposed to be coming and she was on her way. And as soon as they pulled him out, 4:54, they pulled him out and she walked in like a couple of seconds after he cried. And it was
terrible. That's cute. You're going to make me tear up on this podcast. But yeah, I could relate to that whole not crying for a few seconds and you're like, okay.
Right.
Carla was the same way. So I told you, like, my experience, I woke up, my water broke.
Right, right.
Basically, like, 2 hours after I woke up. Mm-hmm. And then by the afternoon, I was, like, 5 centimeters dilated. And then, boom, out of nowhere, I heard them going, like, okay, we're going to check to see how far along you are, because I kept telling them, like, there's pressure, but nobody was listening to me. So I'm like, there's pressure. I had the epidural. I'm like, something's wrong. Like, I just, there's way too much pressure down there. I feel way too much. They kept ignoring me. Finally, some lady comes in and she's like, all right, we're just going to check you just to make sure. And lo and behold, Harlow's hair was just chilling out.
Oh, wow.
From the top of her head, just hanging out in between me.
Wow.
And the lady's like, oh, she's like, okay, yep, you're definitely ready. I'm like, what? She's like, she's crowning. I'm like, what?
Wow. Like,
okay. So they I guess they call it a bagel. It's a bagel, 10 centimeters. So they're like, she's a bagel. They're like, okay, we got a bagel. So everybody start like getting the stuff to prepare. And it was Christopher's mom, Chris, and my mom in the room with me. And I remember them telling my mom and Chris's mom to hold my legs, and then they told me to lean forward, and I'd hold my breath for 10 seconds and then push, and then we keep repeating it. When I tell you that was a workout.
Oh man.
Yes. And on the last push, I told myself, I was like, all right, this is it, because if you don't get her out right now, you're about to pass out. So I just, I was like, I'm not holding it for 10, I'm gonna hold it for like 15. And I pushed with all my might, and sure enough, little Harlow came out.
Aww.
But my mom said that when she came out, it's almost like the midwife was anticipating something, because when she came out, the umbilical cord was around her neck.
Oh, wow.
And my mom was like all in the same motion. She said, that lady snatched Harlow right up outside of you and took the umbilical cord off, like, oh, all in one motion. And Harlow didn't cry right away either.
Aww.
But I was in such a daze. Like, I didn't cry literally until the next day. Like,
you probably was tired.
I think that's, honestly, I'm not even joking. I think that's what it was. But they had peds right outside the door. They were like, oh, snap, she's not breathing. And Harlow was like blue. They put her on my chest. She was like blue and purple. Aww. She was not doing much of anything.
Aww.
And then people rush in that room. And then out of nowhere, you hear, yay, yay. And then... And they were like, all right, she's good. You know, basically like false alarm.
That's cute.
And then they just bounced about the room. And then, yeah, the rest was history. Now I got a crazy child.
Aww.
But, so, how, I want to know how your hospital experience was. Because I feel like, you know, everybody's labor and delivery is juicy and different. But I want to know, like, how the hospitality was for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you were treated fairly? How was your experience in the hospital?
My experience in the hospital was pretty good. I enjoyed the stay there. It wasn't like I was mistreated or anything. I do feel like they could have tried to turn him around before they did the C-section, but I guess they know best, right?
Right.
But yeah, I don't really have no complaints. Wait, no, I do have a complaint. I think like the second day I was there, I was going to the bathroom, and as I'm sitting on the toilet, there's a big old water bug crawling out the bathroom door. It took everything in me. Everything in me. Not to hit the emergency call button. I'm like, I don't want to hit this button. Because they're going to come running in here like I'm dying. But at this But at this very point, I definitely feel like I'm about to die. Because I was freaked out. That water bug was so big. But yeah, other than that water bug experience...
I would have looked like I saw a ghost.
Girl, I'm like that. I'm telling you.
And them water bugs are huge.
Oh my goodness. Them things ain't nothing to play with.
Mm-mm. Well, I didn't have no water bugs or nothing. But I don't know. I feel indifferent about my experience because in the labor and delivery unit, for the most part, they were nice.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lady that was helping me through my contractions, and God love her, because like you said, you don't have no toothbrush. I didn't get to brush my teeth. I didn't get to shower, so I know I stunk. And I was in her face breathing all hard. She was like, you're doing so great, sweetie. So she helped me. But it was the aftermath that, I don't know, I just felt like I was asking for help. And I was, because I was breastfeeding at the time. So I just felt like, as far as lactation, they just didn't have the resources. And they kind of just threw me to the wolves, I felt like, when I went home. They're like, you're breastfeeding? Okay.
Yeah.
No pamphlet, no nothing, no numbers I could call, and they just sent me on my way. But
I feel like that's everywhere with breastfeeding, though.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. Which is exactly why in one of our podcasts, we will definitely be talking about breastfeeding experiences.
Yes, we'll definitely go into detail with that, because I got some stories for y'all.
Yes, she does, y'all. Well, that is it for today's episode of Labor and Delivery. We hope you guys enjoyed, and we will see you next Monday at 5.